Hello, I'm Joel Hughes.
And I'm Aurora Alexander.
And this is the Psychology Pathways Podcast.
We help busy psychology students succeed.
If you want to contact us, send an email to psychologypathwayspodcast, all one word, at gmail.com.
In this episode, I welcome you to Season 2 of the Psychology Pathways Podcast. I'll explain how to hack the two types of learning in college and beyond. We have a bombshell announcement about the future of the podcast, and I'll talk more about what to expect in Season 2 of the podcast. So how do you hack the two basic forms of learning in college and beyond? I've been thinking about this for a long time, especially during this global coronavirus pandemic that started in 2020. I've also been studying how to succeed in psychology and college and life for many years. Like hard, studying very hard, reading hundreds of articles, writing a textbook, building a course, starting a podcast, listening to lots of podcasts. I've really been thinking about this. And the reason I bring this up is because in the new normal, higher education is going to evolve and there's going to be a lot of stuff that's done online. And it turns out that online education is only good for one of the two types of learning. And that's something that you, dear listener, need to understand. So broadly speaking, there are two types of learning. There's facts and there's skills. Those are the two types. Now, facts are the courses that have just a lot of information to learn, memorize, you take exams. And most coursework and most credits are biased towards facts. So for facts, the most efficient learning strategy is successive relearning. What does that mean? That means flashcards, exams, giving yourself little quizzes, anything that you can do that requires you to learn the material, test yourself, learn the material again, test yourself until you have mastery. Now that can be done online or in very large courses because you can efficiently deliver a huge amount of information. And then to the extent that the student will engage in successive relearning, they will learn the material. This is why you can learn so much on YouTube and on videos, because if information is presented to you, lots of people can watch those videos and get that information, and then it's up to you to do the successive relearning. Now, what's not going to work is highlighting, underlining, rereading, going over the material again. That's not it. You have to actually successive relearn and test. That's the only way. Now, in contrast to facts, skills are best learned through direct instruction, deliberate practice, and feedback. Now, what do we mean by that? Skills are things like how to play the guitar, or how to write a paper, or how to do statistics, or how to do research. And these things are skills. In fact, critical thinking is another skill that you cannot learn on your own. It has to be done in a smaller class where people are talking back and forth and there's interactions. And so skills are learned through direct instruction from someone. And what we say that is it's they're actually telling you how to do it. You know, let me show you how to play the guitar. Let me show you how to do the statistics. Let me show you how to write a paper. What's not effective is minimal guidance or discovery learning or exploration learning. If I say to you, go write a paper, and you go write a paper and come back, and I don't tell you anything about how to write a paper, I have to either assume that you already know how, or you're just going to write whatever, and it's going to be terrible. And so you can't learn skills from making it up as you go and just exploring around and seeing what you learn. This is obvious if you try to learn to play the guitar without any lessons. You'll be able to play a few chords and you'll be able to mess around, but you're not actually going to be any good because no one ever sat you down and showed you how to play the guitar. So the second part, after direct instruction, you need deliberate practice. And then you need feedback, which is part three. Deliberate practice means that you are rehearsing. You're rehearsing playing the guitar. You're rehearsing doing statistics. You're rehearsing writing papers. And it's deliberate in the sense that you're not just coughing up more papers or messing around on the guitar. You're actually, you have a goal in mind. You're doing specific things that will make you better. And so deliberate practice in writing might mean something like, you know, writing a blog post twice a week and then sending it through your artificial intelligence grammar software to get better at the grammar part. Something like that. Deliberate practice on the guitar is your scales, you know, learning to play different chords, learning a song instead of just messing around. learning to read the music and play along with the music. That's how that works. And then feedback is the third part. And what that means is someone listens to you play the guitar and tells you what you're doing wrong, or you record yourself playing the guitar and you play it back and listen to it, or you have artificial intelligence software that critiques your writing so you can see where it's good and where it's bad, or you have an instructor read your paper and tell you what happened, or you do statistics and then you have someone sit there and say, okay, this part was correct, this part was incorrect. This only happens realistically in relationships, which we call things like coaching, mentoring, supervision, a teacher, a tutor. And so this is labor intensive and it's not scalable. When you go to tutoring, you're meeting with a tutor. You can't have 400 people on an internet call watching the tutor. It doesn't work nearly as well. Some of it can be learned by watching videos, but that's actually pretty inefficient compared to if someone were just sitting there showing you how to do it. And so skills are taught in small classes like a lab. You know, statistics often has a statistics lab where there's only maybe 20 people there, so the instructor can wander around and, you know, help people when they get stuck and show them how to do it. There's the direct instruction again. And you can break skills down into small components. But generally speaking, this is why when you go to college and beyond, you need long-term relationships that foster mentoring in the kind of skills that you need to have. And that's why I talk so much about advising, faculty advising, professional advising, and getting into a relationship, such as joining a research lab or doing an internship. It's in those kinds of mentoring and coaching experiences that you learn the skills that you cannot learn from just watching videos online. So that's my main point. You cannot learn skills in distance learning classes that easily. It's hard. And there's still a lot of statistics classes that are delivered online. They're hard. They're hard because you often don't get enough direct instruction and enough feedback. You can practice and you can get some feedback, but it's hard when there's not someone there in real time saying, no, don't do it that way, do it this way. And so that's my hack for how to hack the two forms of learning. If you need to learn the facts, you have to do successive relearning. If you need to learn skills, you need direct instruction from an instructor with deliberate practice that you can do on your own, and then feedback. And that's the only way to get it done. So, Aurora, we are recording in the summer in the park.
That's right, we are.
The genius of our fully portable podcasting system with windscreens is now apparent.
Nice.
You still may hear some birds, some cars.
Some kids playing in the background.
Some sunshine.
I love hearing sunshine.
Yes. And so this is strange. It's the great coronavirus quarantine of 2020, mm-hmm. Lingering on into the summer. And so it looks like we are going to hit 200,000 dead by September. That sucks.
Wow.
And I feel very badly for all the listeners who know people who have gotten sick or who have died. And we're taking it seriously, but it's just jarring that we're reduced to staying out of the building and recording in the park.
Right.
Here we are.
Here we are.
And it affects all of careers and graduate school. And so I think it's going to be a very interesting season two.
Very interesting.
So welcome to season two. Last season, we had over 3,000 listens.
That's crazy.
We have many international listeners for some reason.
Shout out to India.
I know. 20% are from India. 11% are from Chennai.
That's crazy.
Hey, if you're in India listening, I have been to India. I've been to Tamil Nadu. I've been to Vizag up on the coast. And so send us an email because I like India. I've only been once, but I was there for 10 days. It was amazing. Hey, we got one email once ever from a listener. I was so excited.
So excited. 1 year.
We
one
have a
email.
Fan. We have a fan.
Yeah, it's great.
So anyway,
maybe we can double that next year.
Let's double our emails and let's double our let's double everything. Let's double our listeners and our emails. Even during these trying times, I think that the landscape for graduate school is going to change a little bit.
Mm.
And so we'll be talking about that during season two. But we said we had a big announcement.
Mm.
You know what the big announcement is?
What?
You do. We're announcing the departure of co-host Aurora Alexander from the podcast.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving our department because you're leaving the university.
I am.
You took another position in private industry.
I did.
And so going forward, it'll just be me.
Just be Joel.
You're irreplaceable, so maybe I won't. But we still have today. So let's turn the tables and I'll interview you as a guest on the podcast.
Look at that.
So here, let's introduce you. Aurora Alexander serves as Senior Advisor 1 for the Department of Psychological Sciences. You received your Master of Arts in Counseling and Human Development with an emphasis in Student Affairs and Higher Education from Walsh University and your Bachelor of Arts from Marshall University. At least for now, you're a Senior Advisor 1 for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So tell us about this. Why are you leaving the university for a position in private industry?
So I always knew that I wasn't always going to be an academic advisor. I mean, it wasn't going to be my forever job. And even though I say job, it was a career, it was a stepping stone for me. And I knew that. I just didn't know how long I would be an advisor. And so I am always evolving. And thanks to COVID-19, we have to evolve. And
yes,
so the landscape has evolved. Society has evolved. And you either evolve with it or you get left behind like the dodo bird.
That's so true.
Yeah.
You either evolve or go extinct.
That's right.
And everybody's evolving right now. Whole industries, travel, hospitality, airlines, cars, so many industries are evolving. Higher education is facing what I call an existential crisis.
Right.
Are we still going to be here in 10 years? How many universities are going to go out of business? Probably not the big state schools. But I feel really bad, for example, for people that just got a graduate degree in higher education administration.
Yes.
You know, are there a lot of residence hall director positions open right now? No. Are there a lot of student programming positions available?
Yeah.
Not so much. There's 250 universities at least that have a pretty much hard hiring freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I see that as being reasonable to evolve. And you said this is not your forever career.
Right.
And that's a really good way to think about it, because I think a lot of people expect when they graduate or when they get their degree, you know, undergrad or grad, that they're going to get a career and it's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true anymore.
No, I mean, long gone are the days where someone graduates from college and they get a job and they work there for 40 years and then they throw a big retirement party for them. Those days are just gone. That doesn't happen anymore. So the average person keeps works for a place for 3 to 5 years and then they move on. And that's not because they're a bad employee or they're working for a bad company. It just means that, you know, times shift and things shift. And then, you know, you get into a different season in life where you want different things for yourself. So things change.
And I call that the event horizon, you know, because there's sort of like a certain length of time that you're in a position and then you change. And in my position, when you're tenured on the faculty, you tend to stay a long time.
Right.
But I still change every 3 to 5 years.
People
may not realize that. I go from being like the director of the Applied Psychology Center to be the undergraduate curriculum coordinator to be the director of clinical training.
Okay.
Every 5 years or so, I want a new challenge and I do something else. And it really is a different job, even if it's at the same institution.
Right.
And some people switch institutions every 3 to 5 years. You know,
yeah,
and
they
may stay in academics, but they move around. And so it's really, really normal and appropriate for someone to think, you know, think 3 to 5 years out, am I going to still be right here?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be moving laterally? Am I going to be switching companies or even industries?
Right.
So what's next for you?
So not to name any names or anything, but I am moving out of higher education and I am getting into the world of HR.
Human resources.
Human resources. Right. That's right. And so it's very psychology related.
Yeah.
I work with students all the time that maybe aren't necessarily interested in counseling or therapy or something like that, but they are more interested in like corporate America. So HR is very relevant in, you know, when we're speaking of psychology terms.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be taking a position, not to name any names and not to point anything out, but it is one of the highest ranking Fortune 500 companies.
Wow.
So
that's a big pond.
It's a big pond. And so there's going to be plenty of room for growth for this little fish.
And psychology has always been good friends with human resources.
Oh, yes.
And Fortune 500 companies have a lot of entry-level positions compared to like administrative and C-suite positions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I predict that the same skill set that you used as an advisor will come in handy in human resources.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about it is like my education's not in human resources. I've never had a job in human resources. And so the average person would probably look at a job posting like that and go, oh, well, I'm not qualified because I've never had that title. I've never worked in that kind of environment, and that's not my education. So they would, you know, maybe discount themselves. And for me, I just know that I have those transferable skills, effective communication, being able to mitigate problems, being that liaison between two entities. That's all stuff that you learn in psychology.
Working in the gray zone.
Yes.
A little uncertainty, knowing how to cope with that. I would add to that understanding professional development and how to see where someone is at and where they could be.
Right.
Because a lot of the people in these Fortune 500 companies, they're at one position, but maybe they're still in school. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're thinking about going back to school. No one wants to stay in the same position forever.
No.
And so in human resources, you can really use your psychology education, essentially, mm-hmm. with the, you know, counseling degree and higher ed administration. Those are, in my opinion, almost forms of psychology.
Right.
I'm a little biased.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there are all sorts of different branches when it comes to psychology. And so I, you know, focus for education and counseling. And there's all different forms of counseling. And I focused on higher ed, which is essentially adult learners.
Yeah, adult learners.
So when I'm working in HR, I'm working with people that are adult learners. Even though I'm working with employees, they're coming, they're going to be coming to me asking about tuition reimbursement, and they're talking about different positions that maybe they're qualified for, or maybe not necessarily qualified for now, but they want to work to that point. So they're still learning. Just because you're an adult doesn't mean you've stopped learning.
Absolutely. And I'll just remind our listeners, we're in the park. And so if you hear squealing children, that's a reminder that
one
life
of them
goes
is
on.
My child.
Yes, it's actually kind of nice to see people playing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's kids running around. This is great. And it's sunny. It's a beautiful day. And so it's an appropriate time to ask, what is the biggest thing that you learned during your time in the Department of Psychological Sciences?
Oh, my gosh. I did have an answer for this, you know.
Long forgotten about.
Long gone. I would say the biggest thing that I learned at Kent in this position, I would say, is that even though it seemed like I was in the position and this was what I was going to do and I didn't see myself leaving anytime soon, it's that you just never know what's going to happen, and you have to be able to be comfortable enough with yourself and know your worth and know your skills and know that you can take that somewhere else if you need to.
Yes.
So I didn't realize, I knew that I was pretty good at public speaking, but I didn't honestly know just how great I was.
Exactly. I was gonna say pretty good, come on.
until I worked with you, until I had opportunities to do a lot of, you know, recruitment events and things like that. So I mean, I think I learned a lot about just how good my skills were.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I was pretty good, but I didn't realize how awesome.
Well, I think in any position, people should take the opportunity to stretch and see, what could I do?
Mm-hmm.
And you may learn that you have skills that you didn't know you had and that you can stretch in new directions. And to that, I would add that in the Department of Psychological Sciences, you probably did things that were a little different than you'd ever done before. You met a lot of people. You know, you expanded your network. We talk mm-hmm. about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And going back to your idea that you never know what's coming, I think it's really a bad idea if people think that whatever they're doing now is safe forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's bad because we do see industries come and go. I'm old enough to remember when telecommunications was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then here come cell phones and there's no more telecom industry.
Right.
I remember when there was no Wi-Fi. I remember when designing a website was a six-figure job, but now you can just go on a website and pay them $10 a month and you have a website.
No, boom. Yeah.
So industries come and industries go, and it's good to, you don't have to be petrified all the time, but you mm-hmm. should remember that sometimes you're more loyal to your skill set than you are to the institution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
And that was one of the things that I kind of had to grapple with. I love Kent. And to say that I'm, you know, sometimes when I leave a job, I go, deuces, peace out. But I'm not leaving like that because I actually really still enjoy my job. And but I think that my skill set, to honor it, I think that it'd be good for me to try on a different hat and work in a different arena for a little while.
And to be honest, Kent State is in really good financial shape, and I don't think that we were going to have your position cut.
Mm-mm.
But there's some uncertainty there. And then if you look around and at these kind of uncertain times, people are looking around. And if you find that there's an up-and-coming industry,
yeah,
you know, a top 10 Fortune 500 company kind of opportunity, mm-hmm. sometimes it's just too good to pass up.
Right.
And so who can really fault you for that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that. And then what would you say is your number one piece of advice for psychology majors who are still in school?
You know what? I think it's twofold. I think one is, you know, and we touched on it earlier about the evolution of who you are. Even the most stagnant personalities evolve over time.
Yeah.
And be okay with your career being fluid. So what is cool and good for you when you're 23 may not necessarily make sense when you're 36.
Yeah.
And that's okay to see something different and transition. It doesn't mean you're abandoning your career. It doesn't mean you're abandoning your education. It just means you're evolving, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Another part of that is even when things are good, do yourself a favor and continue to connect and do informational interviews. Even when I, you know, everything was good and I never even dreamed of getting another job, I was still making connections outside my sphere.
Yeah.
And getting to know people. And I will tell you, the position that I got was based on an informational interview that I did over a year ago.
Yeah. And so check to informational interviews. Another yeah. plug for they really do result in opportunities.
Yeah.
Make yourself available. Get out there and talk to some people.
That's right.
And you never know what you might find out from a friend of a friend.
Yeah. And so this was actually, I was doing informational interviews based on some information that students wanted to know about getting into HR. And I was like, actually, I don't really know a lot about HR. Let me kind of spread my wings a little bit and go outside my comfort zone and interview a few people that, you know, can maybe clue me in on the industry. And once I started finding out about it, I go, this isn't half bad. I kind of enjoy HR.
Yeah.
This sounds like that might be right up my alley. So I would say give that, even though you love your job, even though, continue to grow, continue to learn.
That's how I got into publishing, actually. I contacted an author because I wanted to talk about their book, and I was amazed that they got back to me. And then I mm-hmm. ended up like being on the launch team of a book, and I ended up getting to read some of the like unpublished manuscripts.
Wow.
And I started, like, you just network, and then you find, hey, you know what? There are some books, but there's not the one that I want for the class that I teach.
Right.
And once you've seen someone's 35 double-spaced pages of Microsoft Word, and you're like, that's two chapters? I could do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's how I got into publishing, was basically, I didn't think it was an informational interview, but it kind of was.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's take the gloves off. What can you tell students that you couldn't say before?
Oof.
Now that you're not going to be in the department after a little bit here, you can say whatever you want, because this isn't going to air until you're gone.
That's true. But I might want to come back and work for Kent. I would say gloves are off.
You could be blunt. We're always blunt.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
I would say listen to your advisor to a point.
Oh, wow. Undercutting your own authority there.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Because ultimately it's you.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's you. And so even though I've met with thousands of students.
Literally thousands.
I've met with thousands of students, and I've had thousands of conversations about life and courses and career plans and future, you know, steps. Ultimately, it's going to be you. So if you are sitting across from somebody that's an advisor and they don't believe in you and they don't think that you can do it, but you know in your heart that you can, no offense, screw them.
Yeah.
You do it. I will tell you that I met, and I may have brought this up in another podcast. I know I talk about it in my book, but I met with an advisor when I was in school, and I did not like her.
Yeah.
She was a jerk. And I said that I wanted to do a child life specialist program. And she looked at me and she said, oh, you can't get into that program. And
yeah.
I said, I didn't ask you if I could. I asked you how would I if I wanted to get in. And so she explained to me how to get in. And so I did everything in my power to get in, and I did.
Wow.
So sometimes the person sitting across from you, because people are human.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll have a bad day. Sometimes this is the 50th time that they've had that conversation in a week.
True.
And so they will dismiss, oh, but I really want to, and blah, blah, blah. And so they'll try to talk you out of something. At the end of the day, it's your decision.
That is so true, because you listen to a point, you know, because if you were to go interview three advisors, they would probably have really consistent advice, but there might be every once in a while someone that says something that's just off.
Right.
And so that's why it's really not their fault if you took the wrong class for your major, because it doesn't count. I mean, they should have told you the right class, but you kind of have to double check.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that just because they said, oh, yeah, that's writing intensive, well, why don't you read the fine print?
Right.
And don't just believe everything you hear. And if they say, oh, you can never get a graduate degree, that may not be true at all.
Absolutely.
And so that's a really good point. Listen and verify.
Listen and verify, and also be secure in the information that you've gathered. If you have only talked to one person about a big decision, yeah, I would be scared.
Maybe get a second opinion sometimes.
I would do the investigative reporting, yeah. And I would gather all the information that I could from reliable sources, and then make the most well-informed decision for yourself.
If you can't verify your sources, then maybe they weren't that reliable. Exactly. You can get a second opinion. I fired my physician once.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, don't eat breakfast cereal. You're too fat. Stop being fat.
Ow.
I'm like, how does that help me?
You're fired.
And so I asked around, and I got a much better physician who's nice to me.
There you go. Good.
And in the same sense, it's good if you build a relationship with an advisor.
Yeah.
And it's also good if you get a second opinion if you don't like what they're saying.
Yeah.
But listen, you know, don't be the person that doesn't listen.
Right.
So that's a nice balance. That's a little bit more nuanced than is typical on a podcast where we're trying to, you know, be positive and upbeat. And you just said, don't listen to me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen to a point, but know who you are as a person. And if somebody keeps pushing back, you know, then just take it for what it's worth. And then at the end of the day, you have to make your own decisions.
You have to live with it.
Yep.
And I'm glad you brought up that you wrote about this in your book, because I brought my copy of your book, Missed the Memo.
Yeah.
The top 9 things I wish I would have known about college from the start. Mm-hmm. And now it's not a conflict of interest for me to say, everybody go buy Aurora's book.
That's right. That's true.
You and I both know that we sell very few books.
Yeah, virtually none.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not
I did
we're
not
in
get
this.
Into this to be, you know, New York Times bestseller.
Oh, that did not happen.
No, not yet.
But anyway, I just bring it up because that's one of the other things you did while you were here, is that you published your own book. And you've done a lot of public speaking, and we wrote a conference presentation that was not accepted, but that conference would have been canceled anyway.
Yeah.
And so we did a lot of stuff, and I guess it's time to say goodbye, which is really sad. You know, you have to say goodbye to all your listeners.
Oh, everybody in India.
Dozens of listeners that have each listened 100 times each.
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, I've only left a job a few times where I've been kind of sad about leaving.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I don't know if you ever watched Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm a huge... That's my kid. Begging not to have someone hit them with a stick.
Yes, well, it is a playground. If you didn't get hit with a stick, you weren't doing anything.
That's right. You're not really playing. But Seinfeld, if you know anything about that show, they signed out when they were at the top of the game.
Yeah.
They were still number one. And I never really understood that. I am that person that is the last to leave the party. Because I'm having such a good time. I never know when to call it quits. And so with this, I think I'm able to leave out on a good note. And I'm able to leave while I'm still happy with what I do. Rather than ride it until the wheels fall off of it. And I hate what I do. And I hate all the appointments. And I'm glad that I'm not at that point.
No, you are leaving on top. And that is really nice when you're still enthusiastic and have a lot of energy and a lot of ideas that you'll never even have time to do.
Yeah.
It is bittersweet because you're irreplaceable. And it's been my pleasure to work with you on the book and the podcast. And I always had such great trust in you and our other advisor when I would send them your way.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who's next in our advising, because we have to figure that out. I'm sure we'll do something. And so there'll be something in our department. But I'm really glad for you, because it is a good opportunity. And that's why I thought it was so important to do this podcast face-to-face and not over Zoom.
Yeah. Because
the sound quality problems of the wind and the screaming children is nothing compared to the choppy sound quality of telephone calls.
Very true. That's very true.
Maybe some people have enough money to get really crystal clear internet telephone calls, but I sure don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I guess we'll say goodbye to Aurora. Until next time.
Yeah.
You'll still be out there doing your thing. People might run into you.
Yeah, they might.
You never know. Maybe they'll see you on the speaking circuit someday.
That's right. Yeah, well, thank you very much, Joel.
Absolutely. And so I guess we'll see what's next for the podcast. I guess it's just me for now. So this brings me to the last topic for today. What is the future of the Psychology Pathways podcast? What will be the topics for season two? Well, the simple answer is I don't know. And I think what I'm going to do is continue the podcast when I can. I want to cover the things that are most pressing right now for psychology students. I'm probably going to use the podcast in my class for people, and I'll use it to explain what's going on in the world of psychology as things evolve. But I don't know if I'll get a new co-host. I'm guessing no. It may evolve into a different kind of a podcast a little bit. I guess we'll just have to see. And so a couple of announcements I'll make right now is that I believe that if you're going into clinical psychology or a PhD doctoral program, admissions is probably going to get different. All of your interviews are probably going to be done online using video conferencing. You may not be able to take the GRE, but you may. And there will probably be smaller incoming classes in the doctoral programs in clinical psychology at major universities. And the reason for this is because all of the universities are taking a huge financial hit right now. And what that means is that they're probably going to reduce the size of incoming classes for the more expensive programs like PhDs. And they may not reduce the size. They may actually try to increase the size for master's degrees and for professional programs for which people pay money, like law and medicine. Although, with the economy the way it is, not everybody has the money to go to graduate school. So anyway, those are just some things I warn you about that are coming probably, and they're probably coming for this year. Online interviews, you may or may not be able to take the GRE, so it may or may not be required, and smaller incoming classes and more difficult admissions for the expensive doctoral programs. So until next time, hang in there. Maybe there'll be an episode two in the near future.
Thank you for joining us for the Psychology Pathways podcast. Remember, we're not acting as an official spokesperson for anyone, and this podcast is not endorsed by any department or university. The views expressed here are ours alone. This podcast is the private social media property of Joel Hughes and Aurora Alexander, and is not a social media platform representing any department or university. We hope you'll join us for the next episode.
If you enjoyed the show, rate us at iTunes or Spotify and tell your friends.
Find out more at psychpathways.com. That's P-S-Y-C-H pathways.com.
And send your listener questions to psychologypathwayspodcast@gmail.com.